Heavenly Father, thank you for using me in your ministry. Thank you for guiding me thus far and granting me your grace. Even now, Lord, you know the purpose for which I have come to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today marks the last day of our church year. Next Sunday, we will begin a new church year and Advent will begin. This Sunday, though, is Christ the King Sunday. For a lot of the world, kingship isn't an alien idea. But we Americans fought a revolution against it 200 years plus years ago and set up a democracy. These days, what we know of kings and queens is limited to the latest scandals from Buckingham Palace and pictures of Queen Elizabeth opening Parliament or Prince Charles and his sons participating in ceremonies all over the globe. And so to understand in the Bible this kingdom language of Jesus, we have to know something about Jesus' context, Jesus' world, and the leadership structure of that day. And this has everything to do with another leader of that time, King Herod. Herod died the year that Jesus was born. And Jesus was born in a cave, some say, or a shed, in an out-of-way town named Bethlehem. Herod, meanwhile, was buried about 3 miles east of Bethlehem in a massive mountain fort built for that purpose, the Herodium. Jesus' birth, despite the significance that we attach to it, was a very quiet affair. And Herod's burial was just the opposite. He literally had a mountain built in the flat desert so that he could be remembered. And he wanted people to think of him and revere him long after he died. And in fact, it's said that you can see the Herodium all the way from Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. It's said to be very impressive, and a few people still visit there, but not like the crowds that flow into the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Herod's life is well known in summary. He had 10 wives, and his suspicion that his favorite wife was unfaithful, he had her murdered, and then his murder of his 3 sons. And he also gave instructions that on the day that he died, there were Jewish elders from a number of villages that he wanted to have killed at the same time. And that way there would be lots of mourning and lamentation. Thankfully and mercifully, that was not carried out. But recall, Herod hears of the birth of Jesus and orders the massacre of innocents, which sent Mary, Joseph, and their newly born Jesus into Egypt. He was a powerful leader, and he ruled for 34 years. So Jesus was born into this kingdom of Herod. He was a very effective leader, but Jesus quickly realized that his way of leadership would not be Herod's way of leadership. My kingdom, he says to Pilate, is not of this world. The temptation of Jesus, of course, would have been to model his techniques, his methods, after Herod. But it would have been a very different outcome and goal. Eugene Peterson writes in the Jesus Way, so why didn't Jesus learn from Herod? Why didn't Jesus take Herod as his mentor in getting on in the world? In the world into which Jesus was born, no one has done this kingdom thing better. It's true that Herod wasn't interested in God, but everything else was intact. All Jesus had to do was adopt and then adapt Herod's political style, his skills, and his tested principles and put them to work under the rule of God. So on Christ the King Sunday, we think about Jesus. Jesus as a king, but a very different type of king. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, to Jesus. He says at the close of Matthew's gospel, and Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And to follow Jesus is to profess Him as Lord. This is the basic Christian conviction and creed. To believe that He is Lord of all is to honor and glorify Him above all else, and above all other rulers and authorities. He came upon His earth to establish the kingdom of God, an alternative to the kingdom of Herod. He spoke not as Herod of the love of power, but rather the power of love. And He clearly gave His presence, His spirit, His authority to His disciples, each one of us, to spread His influence and His teachings, His goodness upon earth until His coming again. And so on Christ the King Sunday, the readings from Scripture and the hymns associated not only magnify the Lord, but they call upon each one of us to be a part of establishing this kingdom of God upon the earth, to make Jesus King right now, today, in our lives. And we might be tempted towards a couple of misunderstandings as we engage in this kingdom work. And one is to despair. All we have to do is look at what's happening in our world with these horrible, violent acts, and we might give up. We pray every Sunday, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet it sometimes seems as though nothing changes. So we might be tempted to be passive, to throw rocks at this evil world and to dismiss those we judge to be unworthy of salvaging. And a second temptation is to use the world's methods to accomplish a good result, to believe that the ends justify the means. And so we're tempted to use Herod's power to achieve Jesus' intentions, to bull our way through the world. But Jesus rejects both of these ways. If we're doing the work of Jesus, we do it the way of Jesus. And so leadership in the way of Jesus is servant leadership, because any power that comes to us comes as a gift, not by might or by right. So you see how Jesus did it, how He shows us servant leadership. Jesus lays down His life, and the power comes to Him as a gift from God. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, Paul writes. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. The self-emptying life of Jesus is a life given for others. So how do we each give our lives for others? Service and love. We continue to serve and we continue to love. We look at our very special altar and cross, which depicts Christ the King. This is the way the earliest Christians depicted Christ. This was an original cross. And it was not until more modern times that we moved to a dead or dying Jesus, as we see on the crucifix. Perhaps we should look to our very own altar here at St. Bartholomew's more often and fondly, and consider our real King and leader, our real Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are so blessed to each year consider once again our many blessings as we sit with our family and friends this Thanksgiving, but also a fresh look to the future as we consider how we might serve and love as Christ taught us in our upcoming new church year. Amen.